Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us again on the Texas Scorecard Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard, joined once again by Jacob Asmussen, our Central Texas Bureau Chief. Believe it or not, Austin City Council going off the rails again.
Brandon, that's right. They just proposed a new $10 billion public transit plan that could really affect Austinites' wallets in a very drastic way.
I'm looking at the article, and you have this up at TexasScorecard.com. I mean, this is a tax increase. I mean, not of just a few percent. If this goes through, this would be 22% for Austin, you know, residents.
Absolutely. So this plan calls for some new public transit things like light rail, new bus routes, electric buses. And to pay for all of that, the Austin City Council is thinking about raising the tax rate 22%, which would mean hundreds of dollars, over $400 potentially per year for the median homeowner.
Now, I thought the legislature, right? People think they went in, they passed legislation to prevent this sort of out of control tax increase. I thought they capped it at, you know, 2.5%, 3.5%.
Yep.
Why is Austin able to do this?
Well, so they would have to have an election in November. So the state law says if a local government wants to raise your taxes more than 3.5% in a year, they just have to ask you for permission first. And the city council is now thinking about going to the voters and seeing if they can raise taxes
now,
at 22%.
We've seen some of these things actually go to the voters. Oftentimes they pass in Austin. There have been times, though, when it's failed. What's your prediction on this?
You know, it's tough to say. You know, the city council tried a rail bond back in 2014 that decidedly failed for many of the same reasons. Now, a lot of people are really hurting in Austin, struggling to afford their bills because of some of the unbearable taxes. You know, over the past 12 years, the Austin City Council has raised the tax bill over 100%. And now they're thinking about adding hundreds more on top of that to families who are already having a hard time making ends meet.
Well, at least, you know, I said this when I saw the story. You know, they say it'll be ready maybe in the 2040s, so that tells you that it's probably a long time after that. Maybe our grandchildren will be able to see vagrants circulate around on these light rail trains. Another story you had as well, you know, the coronavirus big story right now, and the Austin mayor, Steve Adler, getting a little bit of heat, not necessarily for canceling South by Southwest, but for some of his actions afterwards.
Yeah, you see a lot of concern worldwide about coronavirus, but here in Austin, there's some confusion, actually. So Mayor Steve Adler canceled the massive South by Southwest conference. But what's causing confusion is a day later, he posted a video on Twitter with State Senator Kirk Watson and Travis County Judge Sarah Eckhart saying, actually, it's still safe to go to clubs, to go to bars, encouraging people to get out in the public and do all the things they would have done during South by Southwest.
Yeah, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can see this. We've got a picture. You've got them taking shots, bottoms up at a local restaurant here. Saying, you know, go out, go support businesses, literally just a day after they canceled the festival over safety concerns.
Absolutely. They sent people home, and now they're saying, well, actually go back into the crowds, go back into the clubs, and do all the same things. So a little bit of confusion there.
Wild. Well, we'll be watching it. Thank you so much for joining me, Jacob.
Thanks, Brandon.
And now we're going to head over to the DFW Metroplex, where Aaron Anderson has been covering a very, very fascinating story in the wake of the recent elections. Aaron, a Democrat official under fire for what she's called vote discrepancies in Dallas County. Tell me a little bit more.
Well, that's right, Brandon. Days after the results from the March 3rd primary elections were posted, Dallas County's Democrat Elections Administrator, Tony Pippenspool, discovered there were some missing votes that weren't accounted for, and she had to go to state court to get permission to reopen the counting and try to figure out where those missing votes were and tabulate them. And that actually happened on Wednesday. The recount happened, and they turned up a total of about 9,100 votes. So that's over 9,000 votes that were not included in the original primary election tally results that had been posted. Now, she said that didn't affect the outcome of any of the races that were on the ballot, but it certainly leaves Dallas County voters with a lot of questions about the competence of this elections administrator and, you know, how much confidence they can have in the elections results coming out of her office.
Well, and I think the biggest question folks have, right, is you hear this story and you think, okay, it's 2020. We're not using paper ballots, at least not, you know, a solely paper ballot system. How do these ballots get lost?
Well, it's a long and complicated story, and I'll have a follow-up online later today about some of the details, the steps in the process. What people should remember is, of course, that the buck stops with Toni Pippins Poole, and she's been in this position for almost 10 years, a long history of various mishaps, mistakes, scandals, and she continues to run the county elections serving at the pleasure of the county's Democrat officials. But the part of the problem was tied to new voting equipment that was rolled out. We mentioned we don't use solely paper, but the new hybrid machines collect electronic votes on these thumb drives.
And it was those thumb drives I'm reading here that were what they discovered after the fact.
That's right. So the post-election closing process involved gathering up these thumb drives, tabulating the electronic votes, and then turning in the backup paper records as well. So they didn't find out till a few days later that the number of votes that they had collected on those thumb drives didn't match the number of voters who had checked in at the polling place to vote at 44 different sites. So that's what they had to go back and try to reconstruct from the paper backups to try to match up those numbers.
What can folks do? I mean, this is an issue that we've been following. You've been following for a very long time. We've seen this across the state. You know, what is a citizen to do right now to demand, you know, actual, fair, accountable elections?
Well, it's unlikely they're going to get action from their county officials, although it always helps to ask and reiterate, demand accountability from your officials. But I would also encourage, especially in Dallas County, but around the state, is that citizens get involved in the election process, participate. One of the problems in Dallas County was not enough election judges to fully staff all these locations. So get involved, contact your county officials, but also participate in the elections, be an election judge, be a poll worker, be a poll watcher, be there on site to try to catch some of these mistakes. And that's what we need to do, catch them before they happen and affect the outcome of the elections.
One more thing before you go, I want to ask you, you were at a debate the other night with James Dickey and Alan West, both running to be the chair of the Republican Party of Texas. Got a lot of views on that on our Facebook page at Empower Texans. What's the feeling right now in Collin County on this race?
Well, that's right, Brandon. Our friends at Collin County Conservative Republicans hosted this discussion with the two Republican Party of Texas chair candidates. The thinking on live streaming it was that people were going to be hesitant to turn out because of the coronavirus fears. Well, it turns out we had a very big room full, as well as a lot of interest watching online. The people in the room where I was last night were very receptive to the message from Alan West. There was a sense that maybe they were, you know, looking for a change, but there's there are also those that are still supportive of James Dickey and the work that he's done. So there's a real mix. It's going to be real interesting to see how that plays out come convention time. But there is undoubtedly a lot of interest in that race.
Absolutely. And we'll be watching that all the way up until the convention in May. Thank you so much for joining me, Aaron.
Thanks, Brandon.
Well, this week's Heroes and Halfwits, I'll tell you, the halfwit's pretty easy. We just talked about her. It's Toni Pippins Poole, the Dallas County Elections Administrator. I mean, unbelievable. When you have a situation in one of the biggest counties in the state and you're finding flash drives with votes days after the election, you know, someone needs to be held accountable, and the people in Dallas County absolutely need to be holding her accountable. For our hero this week, we go to another Texan who found himself in the swamp this week, Trey Traynor. Now, Trey Traynor is a conservative elections expert, elections lawyer, who was nominated by President Donald Trump for the Federal Elections Commission a few years ago, but because of obstruction by the Senate and by Democrats, just now had his hearing in the committee that will be approving that nomination and moving it forward. He did a great job answering questions, even as Democrats like Chuck Schumer and Amy Klobuchar, tried to grandstand and make the hearing all about them. It was very great to see that. So congratulations to him. We hope that nomination moves forward.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.